Shall we bow our head for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this hour. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the privilege and the honor once again to assemble at your feet. Thank you for the blessings wherewith you have blessed us, O God, since the beginning of today, the Sunday school, Lord, the morning stroke afternoon service. Thank you, O God, for our day. Thank you for the message. Thank you, O God, for the things that you are revealing to us, O God. We count ourselves privileged people, O God, to be ordained for this day, O God, to be called of you, Father. We know not so many are given this opportunity, but we have found it, O God. We pray that you help us to live our life every day in appreciation for what you have done for us, O God. May we be indeed that written Bible, O God, because we know today men and women don't read the word, but may they see us and read you through our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for the little time of rest that we had. Thank you for the Song of Zion, the special numbers, the hymns and the choruses, O God, that have been sung to bless your worthy name and prepare our heart again for your word, O God, this hour. We pray that all be acceptable before thee, O God. Forgive our shortcomings, forgive our failures, all our wrong, whatever will stand as an hindrance, Lord. We plead that your precious blood will atone for us. Bless everyone in your divine presence tonight, this evening. Lord, once again, bless the reading of your word, O God. Bless the hearing of the same. At the end of the service, O God, this evening, may we have cause to thank you. In all the nations of the world where your children are gathered in like manner, Lord, may you bless the gathering of the saints. Be the help of your servant, O God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And thank you for waiting behind for the second service without wasting our time. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. Let's just read from verse 8 this afternoon, verse 8 down to 14. Said, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, that's the three angels that visited Father Abraham. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and he had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, not seeing physically, saying, shall I of a surety bear a son which am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And may the Lord Jesus add his blessings to the reading and hearing of his perfect word in our heart this afternoon. You can be seated. God bless you. And once again, you are welcome to the service. I will trust that God will bless our hearts once again this afternoon through the message that he has given us for our day. Amen. We thank God for our prophets. How many of you appreciate Brother Brown? Amen. I can't just wait to see him in person and say, God bless you, Brother Brown. Thank you for keeping it to the angels' instructions, storing up those messages, keeping those full, because we just wonder if the message was not available, what would we have been? I mean, where will we go to? What kind of people will we be? But we thank God for the message of the hour. in doctrine, in correction, in admonition, in chastisement, everywhere, just a blessing to us. You appreciate God. So this afternoon again, we just want to continue before this time, wherever we get to, and see how God will help us with the message we started on Wednesday. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And as we said, we already gave the answer. There's absolutely nothing that is too hard for our God. Amen. Our God specializes in things that men think are impossible. Amen. Now, in this message, Brother Bram, you know, use our father Abraham, a father of faith, as, you know, the emphasis, you know, that we look at his life. You could look at, see, all hope was gone for father Abraham. Abraham said, because why? He married his wife when he was 27 years old. And maybe Sarah was 17. Abraham was 27, 10 years difference. And from that age till Abraham got to 75, no child. You can think of it. And God met him 75 and told him he's going to have a son. And he had to wait again another 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. Is anything too hard for the Lord? As God said, it seemed that he didn't bring it to pass. There's absolutely nothing. If God promised us something, he will surely bring it to pass. Are you a believer? As God said, he will bless you, and he has not done it now. It's just a matter of time. You just believe. At least in this church, God has said, well, we are so trained and we believe that God answers prayer. Is that so? And whatever God says cannot return to him void. You believe that? That he must accomplish that which he has said. If God says, I have blessed you, Brother Joseph, he has blessed me. There's nobody that can curse you. If God says you are well, though Satan can tell you you are sick. Tell Satan, I don't see the sickness. I see my healing. Amen. God said, I have healed you. And Satan said, you have cancer. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. He's the one that's got the final say. She wants to say, you are a dullard. They say, you know no book. Who is talking? Is it God? Now man, they talk. One brother met me. He said, my parents say, I don't know, but I say, brother, you know book. He said, I say you know book. Don't listen to man. Listen to God. I said, they say you don't know book. That shouldn't make you discouraged. I begin, oh, I don't know book. Maybe I will not be something in life. No, that is the devil trying to box you to a corner. Let's have that message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, preached 1956-0405, paragraph 20. Because when you get to that kind of situation, Satan has opportunity to pour so many things at you. Satan, you know, for Satan to operate, he needs somebody. Are you there? For God to also operate, he needs somebody. Amen. Now, Baba said, but how that divine person, they failed to know, they failed to know the word of God, so there was nothing to do but to fulfill their desire to know. And so as they turned down the road, this is a Mary and Martha now, you know, when they lost their brother. They turned down the road, walking along, disheartening. Oh, some women, they have been to the grave. They've been to the grave and they said it wasn't there. That's Jesus, I mean, to say. And they didn't believe that, so they just went on down the road so discouraged. And if you notice, it is when you are discouraged, that is when the devil can really pour it on you. Now Jesus has passed. As we use that word, permit me to use the language. But he had told them that, destroy this body, I will do what? I will raise it in 3 days. But sometimes when we are in trouble, we forget many things. We can even forget to read the Bible. We can forget to pray. When trouble hits you, except God help you. So Mary, these women in that condition and the rest of the, you know, disciples, they got so discouraged, you know. And they've gone there to check, maybe on Sunday morning, and we didn't see anything. Get all discouraged, and Brother Brown said, that's when the devil can really pour it on you. That's where he gets you. If you come to church and say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I will ever get any better or not. I have been prayed for twice. Oh man, you might as well go home. That's all. But when you can cast that aside, amen. Cast that situation, cast that atmosphere aside. When you can cast that aside, God don't want you to be what? Frowning. What Jesus brought to this world is love, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. What Satan brought is bad, bad thing. Hatred, sickness, affliction. Satan is the one responsible. Satan is the one that will shoot husband and say, your wife doesn't love you. He will shoot wife and say, your husband doesn't care. It's all the working of Satan. God wants you to be what? Happy. So if you are not happy this afternoon, Satan is the one that is responsible. God wants you to be what? Happy. The human heart was made to be what? Happy. Worry will cause what? Cancer. Hey, what will I do today? Oh, where will I? Confession is coming. Oh, which pillow will I wear? You don't even think confession is coming. What spiritual blessing? Open your eyes. So, this is just 15 minutes. What spiritual blessing am I going to receive from God in the confession? It's what clothes will I wear? Ah, even wearing my shirt. Those things are okay. I'm telling you, that's some people's mind. Because of that, they begin to put themselves inside unnecessary pressure, tension. It's the truth. I mean, that's what some people, which you, those things are fine. As you think of that, the most important thing you think of is your soul. That confession is coming. What is my expectation? What do I want to get from God? Do you want to show your clothes? You are a carnal brother. Or you as a sister, is your hair too? Then you get to the condition that Mama Sarah was, as Brother Bram said. That she began to get, so grouchy that morning and say, if you have chosen right and go where Lord chose. You see, if you see the kind of Esther that his wife did, it's the one that reached Ibadi. He reached the waistline. I like her head that when she shakes like this, the thing will just follow her. Sister, that's what you want to show. May God have mercy on you. Oh, if you see their car, they don't even use key. Because they just talk, please start this car for me. Car, you must start. We just sit down in this bush here. You are giving me Gary to drink. I say, God loves us. God loves us in this condition. May God help us. Temper, we cause what? Cancer. Don't never be what? Upset. If you see yourself getting this way, it is Satan that is responsible. Help yourself. Don't never be what? Upset. Just walk in what? In love. Can we say amen? Knowing that you are walking with him and nothing can harm you. There is nothing can harm you. You believe that? There is neither power, things present, things future, nothing can separate us from him. We are in him. And we never come in by our own will. Are you there now? Or did any one of us come by our own will? It was God's choice. He, by choice, elected us and brought us in to him. Amen. And so it is his business to take care of what he took himself. I am God's project. That's why I don't worry. Oh, may God bless everyone that God has been using to be of support to me. God bless you. Sometimes I forget to do those things, and I know some of the people might not want me to mention their name. So I just see people come. He say, Brother said, take this food. I say, God, is that how you walk? Even though I'm thinking of how to take care of my family, but people sometimes just do those things. May God bless you. Somebody gave me a bag of rice. God bless you. My car was so bad, I'll be thinking, how will I fix it? One brother said, this car, conversion is coming. Let's do something. I said, yes, I'm thinking about it. I just send me money. Say, go and fix the car. God bless you. That's the way God works. Last Sunday, my son lost the car key. And they came. I know he would have think in his heart, is there anything to ask for God? He's listening now. There's nothing to ask for God. When they call, he say, we have lost the car key, and that's the only one we have. And then, if he had come, I know I would have scolded him and said, maybe he was too playful. You know, they went, everybody, God bless you, all of you that helped to look for the key. God bless you.
But you know something, I was not bothered. The only thing I was just saying, okay, if we don't find the key, you people will not eat today. You know, and we won't go home. Maybe we'll find other means of going home. We just park the car there until we find a solution. That was all I concluded in my mind. Then at some point when, you know, I said, okay, let me go towards the place I know it could clear around. I didn't reach halfway of that road. They came, they said they saw the key. Why do I need to worry myself? You know, sometimes we say, ah, well, how will you do? How will you go home? For some people, they are already in trouble. Some little tension like that, it gets some people upset. But God said, don't be upset. You are God's project. He's the one that has called you. He's responsible for you. We are not responsible for ourselves. Then why should we worry? What you will eat, what you will put on, the job you will do, it's all the business of God. You just play your part and leave the rest in the hand of God. Amen. No man can pluck them from my Father's hand, cause is the greatest of all of them. Amen. It is the Father who takes care of it. So who is God any more power than God? Is there anyone? So what kind of a power have you got over you to take care of you? Nothing. The whole powers that created the universe is the one that is, you know, working with us. Amen. And that, you see, that took this, let's just leave that. Amen. So, you see, we are his project and we are his responsibility. So we've got no cause for fear. From the message, is there anything to add for God? Let's continue. Paragraph 56. But Bram said, you see, and when Satan came to the home of old Papa Abraham that morning, know what Abraham did? He wasn't fusing with his wife. Just like we said on Wednesday, brother, it's not everything that your wife does say that you react. Rabbi said, be the higher one. I think somewhere in the Bible it says you even dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. And then so be really so anything. Yeah, you are the one that you find grace and say, oh God, I am the man. Let me know that sometimes something that she said, she didn't mean it. It is just emotion that is going through our body. You know, the women are so emotional. And maybe the person is saying, look at your head. He said, thank you, you look like coconut. Yeah, there's no need for you to get angry. Amen. You say, well, no, your face look like before you know you abuse one another. It becomes tension home. This one says, I will not cook for you. Say, me say, I will not release money. Satan has entered your household. May God help us. Don't worry, my brother. Let's come back to. But Bible says, you see, Abraham, he got his chair and he sat down. You see, the faithful old servant of God, he bowed his head. And maybe Sarah, a little fussy and going on. But he just let it go. It's not everything you fuse about. I mean, he just let it go and begin to think back. How many great blessings God has given me. I think we used to sing in that song. When you begin to count your blessing, sometimes Satan begins to tell you, look at your friend. Like one minister said, there's nothing like colleagues. And that's the truth. I mean, there's nothing like colleagues in this world. He said, oh, my mate, some of your mates, they're on that grant. Which day was that? We're going with one man, I think from one of the banks. And he told me, he said, you are going through Burial Ground. I said, what about Burial Ground? He said, I don't like that place. I said, it's human being that is there now. if God is gracious, he's grateful, some of us will get there. He was looking at me. People fear death, you know. But like we saw on Wednesday, if God help you, you overcome that. There's nothing that Satan can scare you with again. May God help us. Satan begins to tell you, look at this, look at that. Just tell Satan. The food that I eat this afternoon is Jesus that gave me the food. You believe that? He inspired whoever it is that brought that food and we heard very well. God bless the fellow in Jesus' name. Church, tell Dada. We enjoy it. God bless the fellow. Ali, when Satan wants to remind you, tell him, I don't eat this afternoon. I'm fine. Remind me, at least I wasn't thinking God told somebody to cook food for everybody. I thank God for that. If God can think of me to even give me food this afternoon. But that don't look at your trouble. Look at what God is doing. that God can say, I still came to church this morning, I still came to church this afternoon, I'm hearing this message. It's something you should thank God for. Oh, but just are you saying that we should not care about tomorrow? No, that's not what I'm saying. But rather than looking at that, like a quote that somebody put, he said, I think Papa used to quote it. I said, I will not tell God how big my problem is, but I will tell my problem how big my God is. Yeah, that's it. May God help us. You know, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. When that condition came to the home, Abraham just bowed his face down and began to remember things that God has done for him, began to thank God in his own way, you know? You believe that? And then, while he was sitting there, thinking of the time that God appeared to him, in the name of the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the bosom, the breast of the woman, now the strength giver. If you notice, the word here is a compound word, which means, you know, Shaddai, not a breast, but the breasted. Two, he was wounded for our transgression. Now, complete. Are you there? Wounded for our transgression. With his stripes, we were healed. And so I am so glad of that. That either promise of God's breast is a strong one, the strength giver. Amen. Now, Abraham, old man, 99 years old, he said, Abraham, I am the breasted God. Amen. Just like a woman that is nursing a child. Our God is wonderful. Oh my, he's just so wonderful. You see, I am the breasted God. Just lay hold of my promise and nurse your strength for me. If you are weary, God is wonderful. I don't know the mechanic that they put inside that. I know I'm in a mixed audience now. He put in women when they are nursing their children. That until science say, for the first 6 months, the recommendation that they have for the little one is that breast milk. When the baby is sick, they will tell you do that. Some people will say, when the baby is having trouble in the eye, you pour it in the eye. I say, ah. It's just so wonderful, you know. And that's what it is to every believer that will take God's word. And you don't doubt, just hold on to it and nurse your strength from him. He's our strength giver. When you are weary, who do you go to? Your friend. Who do you go to? You go to God. When you are in need, who do you go to? You go to God. That's the person you go to first. Then he's the one that has the control of man. If he wants Brother Joseph to be the channel to help you, he will now move Brother Joseph. Move. Yeah, that's the way God works. It's like the baby lay on the mother's bosom all the time. It is nursing. And when it's nursing, it's what? It's satisfied. Amen. When a real Christian can get a hold of the promise of God and believe it is for them. Are you there? If you can get a hold of God's promise and Satan has not deceived you that you are not part of it, but you believe the promise is for you, you are satisfied. Because why? He's nursing the strength coming, he won't complain a bit. Are you there? He's just satisfied. Oh, I like that satisfaction. Of knowing that God said so. Amen. And while the whole angel said, was sitting there, that's Father Abraham, with his head down, praying, no doubt. It was then when he lifted up his head that he saw three men coming toward the tent. Oh, because why? He was under expectation. When he saw the three men, he jumped up quickly. It must have been the Spirit said, go to them. Amen. And when that Spirit inspired him, you will see certain things that they did, just as I said on Wednesday. You know, there is something about spirit-filled people that recognize the presence of God. I don't know why it is, but it must be that way. They got something in them that magnetized them to that Spirit of God. They recognize that there was something. And that's why if you are sensitive, even if danger is coming, the Spirit of God will begin to alert you. Watch. Like a brother told me somewhere, he said, I don't know, all you this minister is like you have spirit of discernment. I said, all children of God have that measure. So it's not only we as minister that when trouble is coming, so that you just sense it. And as the prophet said, I don't need to stay 2 years with somebody before I know what is inside him. Just let me spend one day, few hours, when we relate, I can tell the spirit that is in the man. May God help us. Even Lot in his backsliding condition, you watch that now. Lot, even in his backsliding condition, when the two angelic angels, messenger, evangelist, or whatever you wish to call them, when they went down to Sodom, Lot there, sitting in the gate, a little spark was still in him. Left in his heart, what did he do? He recognized it was the angels. See, it was the messengers from God. And while Abraham went to meet them, what did he do? He turned them aside, said, come in and sit down. He welcomed them. Because why? It was spiritual. Not like some of us, like I said on Wednesday, he said, Pastor, maybe Pastor is coming to ransack my house. The pastor will not do that. Amen. If the pastor come to your house, honor him. Yes, honor him. Take care of him well. Because God has given them to you to take care of your soul. So why not you take care of them with your physical substance? Bless them. Amen. May God help us so. Should I say? Father, sometimes some of us want to put things from pastor. We're supposed to give the pastor. Amen. I'm sorry if I offend you. Say, come in and sit down. Sit under the oak a little while. And let me fetch a little water and wash your feet. See how he welcomed those angels. See? And I will give you a morsel of bread. Now Abraham was in charge. He began to coordinate everybody. Hey, you go. Get a car for me. Quickly. Hey, Sarah, let me kill it. You help us dress it. Fine. Put atta. Abraham said that. You know, he was in charge. Because why? He was under expectation. He knew the day of visitation has come. This is the man that will give me what I'm looking for. I must not miss it. Oh yeah, you, get water. You there, get the calf, kill it, knit it, fine. And just rest a little bit, you know. And then you may go on your way. Oh, when he set him down there, though they didn't look any different from any other man. That's one thing about our God. Because they were dressed, dust on their clothes, come from some other country, probably their feet dusty, their clothes rag. But Abraham knew inside there was something real. His spirit declared to him that there lays the Lord. And he kept himself in his what? He kept himself in a spiritual atmosphere all the time. See? That he could recognize right from what? Wrong all the time. And that's the way the Christian ought to do today, is to keep yourself what? Prayed up. Under a spiritual atmosphere, always. Never seen the bad side. Bad side will always come. But when they come, don't look at it. You be conscious of where you are going. Be like a man that has a target. You know where you are going. Nothing, all those things are distraction. Let it not hinder you from where you are going. May God help us. Looking at the good side, you are the children of God, expecting, you are children of God, expecting his blessings. And so after I stopped there, I can see him running, grab Sarah by the hand, say, come aside, Dali. Just a moment, I want to tell you something. I believe we are getting our day of visitation right now. Why? Because it was under expectation. How through the heart he went, he got a little calf, dressed it, brought it out, fed the men. Two of them raised up their heads and went on to their appointed place to preach the gospel, you know, to that country that was blinded by their preaching. Are you there? How we ought to think today that the preaching of the gospel blinds the unbelievers. This same preaching that we are hearing is opening our own eyes, is blinding some people. Think of it, friends. Is it not the mercy and grace of God? As it was in that day, the days of Sodom, so is it today. God had Abraham, his own group, elected one, that he revealed his mind to. Is that not the same in our day? May God help us. But you see, God said they have eyes, but they can't see. Yes, but they can't hear. God, if anything I want him to do for me, is open my spiritual eyes. That I might recognize him and look around and see him, for he's everywhere. And I want to see him and be so acquainted with him that I will know him on the very first sight. I will recognize that it is God.
That is my heart desire. Be as Abraham was. What an admonition. Let's be like who? Father Abraham. Always in what? A spiritual atmosphere. Not knowing when God will appear. Do you believe God still appears to his own? Oh yes, God still appears. God still used angels. You believe that? Sometimes people just say, oh, I saw Brother Joseph. And that my house, I never even came to your house. He said, but you came to my house. I know that it must have been the angel of the Lord. At least I've had one or two experiences like that. That sometimes you just sense, maybe God has sent a danger and he didn't want you to get there. He just put something and somebody will just come to just shove you from that path. I just say, oh, bro, God bless you. He said, ah, but that moment, you didn't last week. He said, it's not me. I said, ah, but we talk, we quit. He said, ah. That brother in the spiritual, I know that, no, he must have been the angel of the Lord. And you remember, if we be dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. And Abraham recognized those men as they come up as being messengers of God. For the way he did what? He treated them. Are you there, church? Do you recognize the servant of God in your midst? How are you treating them? That's the question. Abraham recognized that these men were messengers of God. Abraham said, and you look at it, the way he treated them, he proved that they know they were God's messengers. And after the other two are went to the appointed place to preach the gospel, this one, hallelujah, this one who was called the Lord, Elohim, the great and mighty Jehovah, who was in flesh, a man, he stayed with Father Abraham. Someone said to me some time ago, said, now, John, wait a minute, Billy, you don't really believe that that was God? I said, I sure believe it was God. He said, well, how in the world could God ever be in a human form? And I said, well, you might think it was a theophany, but it wasn't, because he ate the flesh of a calf. He drank meat. He ate corn bread. He sat down there in Abraham's house and talked with him. He was a man. You believe that? Elohim, God himself, showing something. Oh, why is it easy for our God to reach over and get a handful of calcium, potassium, and petroleum, and we are made out of, you know, 60 elements, then think of it. Is that too difficult for God to do? To just breathe in a body and just jump inside and say, today I'm going to, you know, Abraham's house? There's nothing too hard for God to do. Amen. 65. No. Okay, take it up. 76. I didn't know we passed that. Take it up. Take it, 77. Take it up. And here he is now. Here he is now. And Sarah, let's just break in on her for a minute. There she sat back, say, I wonder how many fanatics my husband can entertain. And there he's sitting out there, you know, and Abraham just interested. Because that's why he's so happy. He's under expectation. You can't, a man that is under expectation, that is desperate, you can't help him. He can't help himself. He said, and maybe the whole fly bush, you know, fanning the flies away, saying, well, I see the angel take his chair. Maybe he just leaned back towards the tent and several listening. Eavesdropping, you know, listening through the tent. What is this? My husband will not just cease to be entertaining funny people. Look at the man even dressed. Abraham already identified that this was Elohim. Mama Sarah didn't even get to know who that person was. Because why? Abraham said she was all fusy. And you see, if you're in that condition, you can miss God. You can miss your day of visitation. That's why Abraham said, when you come to the church, come expecting. Come prayed up. Don't come to the church frowning. Come happy. Amen. Satan sometimes says, no, it's on Sunday. He will begin to tell you, because why? Everybody wants to get to church early. Of course, nobody in his right senses wants to come late. But if Satan is using one of the party, maybe it's the husband that is the one that gets so late. And the wife will get angry. And you see, now, you ruin the service for me. You spoil my day for me. Sister, don't look at the bad side. Look at the good side. See how you can help the matter. If brother, the wife is the one, she's the one that always drag feet. See how you can help her. Let's enter family life small.
That's the truth. See how you can help her. If you know that it is cooking the food that will make you late, including me, this concerns me too. If you know that it is the cooking of the food that will make you people get late, you can help your wife. Wake up 5 and help her put food on the fire. It doesn't reduce you as a man. Does it reduce you? Oh no. We are helping one another so that we can achieve a common goal. We get to church early. Amen. But you know, sometimes Satan, he takes situation like that because he know this one wants to, this one is always eager to get early to church. Not that the other one is also not eager, but he know this other one is just so slow. I said that we say, oh yeah, on the Sunday morning, where this one shout, oh yeah, everybody get that. I say, hey, don't control me like that. And before you know, on a Sunday that you are coming to church, God be with you. And you are coming to the same church. How do we expect? When God is blessing, sister, you are already hungry. That's why you are not even in the condition. If God help you, if the preacher is even coming, it might not help you. So why not we help one another? If you know that there's one of the party is late, I'm not saying that if your husband or your wife is the one dragging you, all of you come late. No, get what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. See how you can help the situation. If you are the one that is the early riser, see how you can, now 4 o'clock, wake up 4 o'clock. It's not easy. But you have to pay the sacrifice. If you love, love is sacrificial. Amen. I know a minister that used to say that. He said, oh, I don't want to, if I go that way, you might know the fellow. He said, we wake up on Sunday and cook the food and see the excuse that the sister will give that come late to church. If he cooks, say, he bath the children, then where is the excuse? But some of us say, ah, she wants to talk me to a woman in this house. No, Emma Jopelo to church. May God help us. See? Oh, you don't see things when you come to church in that kind of a mood. God bless you, my brother. I didn't know we are there. See, you just no need of trying it. You just might as well do what? Stay home. You won't get nothing out of that service. Husband is angry, wife is angry. People do this. You know in your heart you are not happy. You know it now. No matter I say amen, but you see that my husband there. Why not settle the thing? Even before you come inside. That's why I believe, Robert, give us that 30 minutes. Yes, that 30 minutes when we come, if your heart is so upside, up and down, you can just come, settle down. If you can come to the altar, come to the altar, settle down. That's what that time is for. It's not the time that we begin to have a meeting. You can sit in your seat. If you are in such a fine atmosphere, open in, sing to yourself in your heart, not disturbing other people. If it's Bible you want to read that time, open your Bible. Read between that time. Prepare your heart for the word that will come. Under expectation. And tell me, how will somebody in that condition miss it? There's no way. Even if Satan tries to make you miss it, you cannot. Because God has seen the effort that you are putting to that service. May God help us. And when you come to church, come prayed up. Take it up, my brother. Come in the atmosphere, come what? Expecting. Abraham knew that the time of the promise was coming close. It had to be, he was 100 years old, he was expecting it any time. He watched every minute when he ran in, told Sarah, this I believe is our day of visitation. And she kind of looked at him with her big eyes and thought, well, Abraham, you said that a long time. But you know, there will come a time it will be so, if God says so. There will always be a one day. You believe that? He might have been saying it all the day, but one day will be the day for the manifestation. Oh, sure. And then when the angel took his chair and leaned back and he said, Abraham, seeing that you have got favor with God and that you are heir, you are an heir of the world and you are going to be the father of many nations, and you believe that since you were 75 years old, 25 years, in other words, you waited for this promised child by Sarah. Now I am going to keep this from, I'm not going to keep this from you. See, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And you know, Sarah, in the eavesdropping, kind of halfway in an upset mood from her condition that morning. And she thought in her heart, now, isn't that a silly thing? In this scientific day, me, a woman of 90 years, how? Think in our day, me, an old woman as old as I am, that's what she said, that how can she have pleasure? She old, her husband old also. You know, Abraham, 100 years old, where? It has not been with me as women for 50 years. And Abraham, well, we've been married since we're about 17, and him 20 years old, 27. How could that be? How could it be? Just questions, doubt, unbelief, rearing up in her heart. See, she had herself all out of the condition to receive it when God brought it. And that is always our problem. Many times the blessing is there, but we are out of condition. We are not in the right mood. We are not in the right atmosphere for God to give it to us. But the Bible says, many times, if not for the mercy of God, some blessings that we receive, oh, yeah, go far further. But God is a merciful God. Oh, man, don't ever get that in your heart. You see, be open, be ready. She missed it. She failed to see it. Maybe if we don't watch, friends, the church is going to fail to see it. Let's not look for church hairdos. Are you there, sister? And new dresses. Let's look for the Holy Spirit to come in the supernatural and raise some things. The church don't need a facelift, it needs a bath. The Holy Ghost to come into the church and bring back people that believe the supernatural. And hold on, waiting for the coming of the Lord, as if it might be any hour, living in them conditions. Amen. And yet she was in that shape, saying, how could that happen in our modern time? And maybe there's somebody in that condition also. Whatever it is, maybe as an individual, you are looking up to God for as a family, and say, oh, how can it be? How can it be? Don't be in that mood. Don't be in that condition. How could it happen to me in that condition? But it happened just the same. Abraham out there waiting with anticipation, you see, it wasn't made known to her, it was made known to them that was looking for it. And that is the way it comes yet to those who are looking. Oh, so he was watching, Abraham was. He said, yes, my Lord. Yes, that's right. The promise, I believe it all along. He said, now, Abraham, just about the time of life, it will be each month where I'm going to visit you and you are going to have that baby by Sarah. Amen. No matter the unbelief of Sarah, it cannot stop what I promised you. And Sarah said, though Abraham did not see her. Physically, like I said, that angel did not see her. Elohim was not looking at her face to face. But his back was turned to the tent, and she was behind him. Your unbelief cannot hinder God. It will only hinder the unbeliever. That's what Abraham told us. Laugh kind of, you know, to herself. Now watch, Abraham get the sign now. See, Abraham, Sarah was too frustrated. She was too concerned about the new hairdo she has seen or something else. Sometimes we are too much frustrated about the other fellow that got the biggest denomination. His congregation dressed bigger than my own. They've got a better church down the corner than we got here. What difference does that make? I won't go. I don't care if I have to fellowship, you know, if I have to worship him rather on the street corner or in a coal shed, wherever I might be, I want God. Let me have my heart in condition. If I wear overalls, if I don't even wear a tuxedo suit, so I can just watch God. Let me just be in a condition that when God comes, I see him and I receive his blessing. See, I see his move and recognize him, not pass it by. He said, Abraham, where's your wife, Sarah? Tell me, how did he know he was married? How did he know her name, if not Elohim? Rabbi said, a stranger, never seen him before. He said, where is your wife,
Sarah. And how did he know that he had a wife? How did he know that her name was Sarah? Said, she's in the tent behind you. And when Sarah laughed, he said, why did Sarah laugh? How did he pick it? He said, he caught the sign, he knew what it was, Sarah didn't get it. She even comforted and she tried to deny it. God would have destroyed her upon that if she hadn't been a part of Abraham. No? And a lot of times, our unbelief would have destroyed us if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, sure. God can't destroy us now because the blood of Jesus keeps God off of us. We are part of Christ, just as Sarah was part of Abraham. And for we are the bride of Christ, and we people who is born of the Spirit of God ought to wake up, get out of our stews, and watch for the supernatural sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. His signs, just as he promised. You believe it's coming soon, friends? As the prophet told us in that message, I think it's a future home of heavenly bridegroom, it's the scoffers that will say, oh, since when our father have been telling us that it's coming? They promised us it's coming. Where will it come? It sure will come one of these days. The things that you know, they don't know it. And we know this thing, we now live in unbelief. May God have mercy upon us. Is there anything too hard for the Lord to do? It's absolutely nothing, friend. It's nothing too hard for him to do. When that hour will come, he will give us the grace to overcome every squeeze. You believe that? From the message at that word, because I'm conscious of this time now, taking God at his word, I mean, preach 1953, November 3. 1953, November 3. Paragraph 3, about the D part, towards the last part. But Bram said, and now, look at Peter that night. He was rolling, you know, rolling in his boat, and he rolled all night fishing. God bless you, my brother. And he caught nothing, and the next morning, because any fisherman knows how discouraging that is to fish all night and catch nothing. And so he has sit there, and on the side of the bank, he has washed his nets, him and the other fishermen. And Jesus came by. I like Jesus. I like William Brown. Those that are led and filled with the Spirit of God. I like sons and daughters of God. I like children of God. They behave like they are God. Because Barabbas said, Jesus will always say, I do nothing but what I say the Father do. So also the prophet also will not just do anything, will not just say anything, except it's inspired or he's been given a vision of God to say it or to just do that thing. Amen. No doubt, I believe Jesus would have seen Peter before he even came that afternoon to preach. And he knew everything that will happen just as he knows everything about you. He knows the end of your life. You believe that? So all that you will go through, maybe you close your eyes in this world, or maybe the rapture comes, he knows all about it. But we don't know. Then why are we worried? May God help us. The man said, you see, Jesus came back and he began to speak. And I can hear Peter say, let's pick up this storm and let's go down and listen to the man. You know, the man is a little different. He talked different from other men. Let's see what about this Nazarene holy roller. And so they go down, sit down, and by the side of it, where he was talking, I see him move up a little closer. And the first thing you know, he had borrowed Peter's boat. Peter didn't know what was going to happen that day. And Jesus said, give me your boat. I know what? He borrowed Peter's boat and he got in. The crowd began to press onto him and he got out in the boat and began to teach the people. And again, after he got through teaching, he told Peter, said, now I want you to launch out into the deep. This was the trouble of brother Peter. But he didn't talk anything about it. He even tell him, give me your boat. He said, you are a wicked man. If Peter's attitude had been that, he will miss the blessing. Like the woman, you know, with that child and Elijah. Rabbi said, God first. The right mental attitude towards every divine promise of God will bring it to pass. But when you go with the carnal mind, you might miss it, friends. Now Peter, you see, he said, launch into the deep and left for the draw. Now Peter was just an ordinary fellow. He had fished maybe one or two nights. He knew all the signs. Well, this time, all the signs of fishing and just how the moon's supposed to be. You know, when the moon goes this way, he could tell maybe the fish will go this way or they'll be in this part, you know, and all the rest of it. Just how the waters are, and they fish all night long and are taking nothing. Now, just think, here it is. I want you to get it. See? And they are fish all night and they are taking nothing. But is anything to have for God? Yeah, Jesus told them, go right straight back to where they have been fishing and told them, drop down the nets. And that they were going to get a whole draught of fish. Now, if they have fished through that water an hour before, hour after hour, all night, and they're taking not even one fish, how in the world are they going to take a draught? If Peter had been like that, so, but I walk inside this path that you say I should go back to, he would have missed it. I begin to argue with God. Say, but I fish all night now. You know how many nights we've been on this sea? You know? Prabhupada said, you see, how in the world are you going to drop the net down and get a whole bunch of fishes? They are just not running. See, it just doesn't even look reasonable, sensible. Is that not so? To the carnal mind. But Peter said, listen to him. Yeah, yes, what it is. He said, Lord, we have said all night, and we take in nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I am going to let down the net. I'm going to throw my unbelief, everything, my doubt. There you are. It is taking God at his word. Not what you feel or taste or what this say or that says. It is taking God at his word. At that word, Lord, I am going to let down the net. I don't know how you are going to be there, but if there wasn't any there, and Peter let down the net with faith, believing that God will fulfill his word, faith will put some there. You believe that? And what happened? He did do it. He did do it. Fish was there. And maybe you say, wherever Abraham, I've been to the doctor, and, you know, he tells me that I can't get well. The man, maybe he's honest. I believe your doctor is honest, and he's told you that. I believe any doctor will have mercy on people. If the man has done all he knows how to do, all the intelligence that God gives him, and he's tried to help you, he's done his part, he's done all he can do well, and he says to you, you are going to die. That's a man speaking, right? Dear, he said, you've got cancer, you've got something, maybe you've got another heart trouble, whatever it is. He said, and you have been operated, and it won't stop it. And it's still going on, and there is nothing we can do about it. We can't cut any further. You know, they have their hand. But Baba said, when they get there, that's where we take it higher. Amen. You see, we can't cut any further. We'll kill you if we cut any further. And so we can't do nothing about it. But Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Then if you can accomplish, or enough faith, get enough faith, not yet, but yet, enough faith yet to believe that you are going to be healed by God, reason it out, tell him you are going to serve him. And all you are going to do, and make your promises to God. And there can be enough faith drop in your heart, that you believe it with all your heart, your soul and mind, that you are going to get well. There isn't enough demons in there to keep you sick. You believe that? I tell you, friends, there's no enough demons. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down, I'll let down the net. You might have pulled through every sea, every hole of water, every doctor's office. Look at that woman with the issue of blood. From doctor's table to doctor's table, referral notes, she would have gotten so many. And they tried, no doubt. But the Bible says, any doctor in his right says he wants to help you. But we know healing comes from God. And maybe she's gone all, you know, all the place. And she has spent all her money on physician. And they couldn't help her anymore. And she just had one day, Jesus of Nazareth is coming to town. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that this is my blood issue for 12 years. It was going to stop. What kind of a faith is that? It's the faith of God
to his believing children.
Do you recognize God again in your midst, brother? Do you believe he's still in our midst? He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us, to be in us to the end of the road. And that is why there's nothing that will come that is more than a match. Nothing that will come to you, nothing that will come to me that is more than a match to our God. God is more than able. Because why? All things are possible if we can believe him. Are you a believer tonight? Let's bow down our heads. Is there anything to have for our God? While we prepare ourselves for services ahead if the Lord has not come? And this is 2025 again. The convention is fast approaching. I believe we are under expectation. If you have been here in this assembly and God has blessed you in the camp, at least we've had people here that are testimonies. God has given some people here their children in this same convention. And you can stay in the gap and pray for some people and say, God, this is another convention that is coming again. You can pray for yourself. Not even only convention, service upon service. It's just the condition of our hearts. Whatever expectation you have, you say, oh God, I'm going to church today. I'm going to service this night. I'm going to convention. This is what I want you to do for me. I tell you, God is more than able to give you the desires of your heart. While all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, fear not, my brother. Fear not, my sister. One of the message brothers said, don't be afraid to ask God big things. Even the things that to your own human thinking, it look impossible. Don't be afraid to ask God. Is it healing? Healing is your property. It's children's bread. Is it food? Is it raiment? God is more willing to give you those things. In fact, those are the least in his book, if we look at it. He's more willing to fill you with Holy Ghost baptism. And you have that in your mind, say, Lord, this is another service. After you bless me in the morning, this afternoon, stroke evening again, you have blessed me with your word. I don't want you to pass me by. I'm also under expectation for services ahead. I'm under expectation again for the convention coming. It's just a way to prepare our heart, though. Lord, I don't just want to go as at other time. Remember, that was how Anna went. She had been going year after year, year after year. But 1 year meant the whole, you know, was a different one for her. That's what Abraham said. One day will be one day. Don't be discouraged, brother. That thing that you have been trusting God, we are all human. We have desires in our hearts. Just settle that in your heart that there is nothing to have for our God to do. Is it to bless you? Is it to fill you with the Spirit? Is it to answer your desire, maybe for your family, for your loved one? It is nothing too hard for him to do. Is it to give you physical blessing? It's nothing too hard for him to do. While all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, we bring the service to a close. You want to be remembered? You can just signify by raising up your hand. Say, God, help me once again. Take away every unbelief from my heart. Take away every doubt. Help me, just as you have instructed through the sermon, to always be in a spiritual atmosphere where I will never miss my day of visitation. As I hand over to the associate pastor, God bless you.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your word that we have listened to. Once again, is anything too hard for the Lord? That is a question in the scripture, that there is no one that believes in God or have revelation of God that we have a different answer than to say nothing is hard for the Lord. We thank you very much for the privilege you are giving to us to know you as the creator of heaven and earth, as our Lord and Savior, as a deliverer, as a healer, as a baptizer with your spirit, as the one that opens and no man can shut, and that can shut no man can open. We have known you as a miracle worker. We have known you as a provider. We have known you, O God, as a God that specializes in what men think are impossible. We are grateful unto you. Lord, since we have known you, we have also been compassed about with a lot of witnesses and testimonies of your acts and might and power. Many are written in the scriptures. Many are in the message of the hour that you have sent to us in the ministry of your prophet. We have seen many also, even as we follow you through this message, we have seen you do so many things that we know of a surety. This is nothing but the hands of the Almighty God. We are grateful to you. Having been witnesses of this, we have no doubt in our heart this afternoon, being that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, the unchanging God, the Almighty. You remain the same, and your power remains the same. Lord Jesus, our needs, our expectations, our cares, our concerns, our everything, you know it all. Not only you know it all, you have made adequate provision, even before we come to this earth, for all our needs to be met, be it physical or spiritual. We have supplied so much since we have come to know you, and you have not stopped your work. You are still at work. That is why your prophet said that when you come into the midst of your people, you don't come as an onlooker or as a recording angel, but you come to bless. You come to give ability. You come to give victory. You come to meet the needs of your people. That is what you are still at this afternoon stroke evening. The hands that are lifted up of your children signify one need or the other. Your resources are unlimited. We pray, dear Father, you give us faith. As you have Father Abraham, to know that nothing is hard for you. It was a wife in a doubtful condition that your word was going to. Why is Sarah laughing? She's laughing because she's doubting. And that is why this question came. Is anything too hard for you? And since the answer is nothing, Mama Sarah did not have the number of testimonies that we have been privy to have. Her case become one of the case studies of testimonies that we have with us. Down the ages, we have them uncountable, innumerable. In our own life, you have done so much for us also. We thank you very much. We pray you help our unbelief, take away doubt, take away dogmatedness, take away fear, take away uncertainty. Every instrument of the enemy, you are a consuming fire. May you consume them out of our lives. We pray you give us divine assurance. Raise up our faith, Heavenly Father. Dear God, we pray, dear Father, that if there be any heart that is always murmuring in time of difficulty, take murmuring away, dear Father. As a prophet, I've said that murmuring weaken faith. May there not be found in our coast, Heavenly Father. Stand for us this evening as we present our needs before you. Every day we need miracles, but we are children of miracles. One more time, move in our life, move in our midst with your great power and majesty, and repeat the miracles, dear Father, that you are known by, to the glory and the honor of your name, to the shame and disgrace of the devil. Let it be, eternal Father. Oh God, each time we see you do them, we'll come back and give appreciation unto you. Thank you, dear Father, as we are in expectation. Every negativity, rub it out of our heart, Father. Thank you, eternal Father. The blessings you have blessed us with, may your spirit water it in our heart. May these things be a meditation in our heart, on our bedposts, when we are eating, when we are traveling, when we are in the washroom, whatsoever we are doing, may this meditation never leave our heart, Father. At every junction of need, at every junction of challenge, at every junction of whatsoever, sickness or whatsoever, may this word not depart from our heart. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Bless your servant that you have used, replenish him for the virtue that has left him, and lift up the horn of his ministry. And I want to ask that as many as you have used today, both here and everywhere the saints gather together, Lord, to bring your blessings to your people, whichever part each one has played. Those who use instruments, the song leaders, interpreters, the officers at their posts of duty, those that knelt down and call upon your name, Lord, for the services of the day and the blessings, in whichever way, O God, you have used your people, as you used the boat of Peter, and you did not leave him empty-handed. In hundredfold, may you bless your people. In thousandfold, may you bless your people. Grant it, King of glory. We worship and we bless your holy name. Dear God, the week is in your hand. You have started it with us in a wonderful way. May your blessing go with us. May your blessing go ahead of us. Dear Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that each day of this week we come with great testimonies, Father. Be with the young children. Those that are on holiday, may you watch over them. Give them good and perfect health, Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, for travelers, for your protection upon them. We pray for businesses for prosperity. We pray for workers for your blessing. Those trusting you for job, open their eyes, dear Father, and open way for your people. Bless the work of our hands. Reveal devourers for our sake, O God. Thank you, gracious Father. Our going out and coming this week may be ordered by you, O Father. As we prepare for the convention, divinely prepare us, O God, yourself. And may you supply every need, O God. Those who will be planning to come, Lord, may the enemy not stand in the way of anyone, Father. When we arrive, may we see your blessings in thousandfold, O God. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Take us home safely. Give us a wonderful night rest. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Lord bless you. This note is from the Oluwara Otimis. He said, greetings and appreciation to the following. The pastor, associate pastor, Evangelist Babalola, Rafemi, Brother Oyedepo, Brother Amo, and Brother Deleke, the Oluwara Otimis. I'm sure they have been sending constant greetings to everybody. They just decided to mention a few names. God bless you all. I want to welcome Pastor Joshua Abiala, I think, and the family. Can you kindly rise, sir, and the family? I don't know whether I pronounce the name well. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma. You are welcome. God bless you, sir. We also have Brother Joseph Samuel and his family also. God bless you. You are welcome, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I'm seeing them faces for the first time. Maybe except said I forgot. The Lord bless you richly. If you know misunderstand me, let me, because like a brother said that he has had people that say that they use breast milk for eye drop. Well, I don't know. I've had it also. I've had it. You know, I had to go to UC recently for eye treatment. That's just a couple weeks back now I was there. If you go there for anything, there's a session where you are going to receive lectures before the time you will see doctors. So in one of the days of the lecture, we were told that some people use breast milk as eye drop. They say that it is wrong. What they are saying is that there is no medical proof that they have of it. So if somebody has done it and it worked, we thank the Lord. But so that you don't begin to quote him that he said we should be using, because do we understand it? Say we? Do we understand it come nowadays? Some people will just say, wait, Bracky says, I say we should be using breast milk anytime they clean. That's not what he said, though. He said he had some people say. I am also saying that medical people said, don't do it. So find your level. God bless you. There are people that sent greetings that have missed their messages to deliver. I was just telling Pastor this afternoon that if I don't write things down, they all fly away. I spoke to Bratim Ashong in the course of this last week, and he sent greetings to everyone. There is also a brother Sasu, we don't know him, most of us here. No, he's a Ghanaian, but in the US, in CFT. He sent greetings. The pastor of that CFT himself, right, James Amamo, sent greetings. He sent a text message to ask me a question, which the question is, so we have to talk, and he sent greetings. Right, Shimon Badari also sent greetings. God bless you all. The service of today has come to its end. Shall we rise? As we check out 196 in book, I will praise him. Thank you.
ṣáájú ayọ̀ ti kó lò bàbá wa fìbò ìbùkún ọ̀run ìbùkún ọ̀run oore ọpẹ́ tó ga jù ayọ̀ ti kó lò.